Beyond it was an inky darkness and the hazy outlines of great orbs, those eroded, hollowed-out bodies that the Sim AI was convinced had once been armed planetoids, built for an ages-gone battle against something called the Sun Hydra. The last moments of that terrifying chase across the inner surface of the planetoid came back to him. The console alert, which showed the huge black bulk of a Mega Vermax hurtling after the life pod he was in, and the awful crash into oblivion just as he entered the anomaly. And yet, apparently, he had made it. Crossed into some strange territory on the fringe of the Godhead's mind. The Tanenth machine had impressed upon him the dangers of entering these domains, levels of hyperspace that the meta-quantal properties of the Godhead's thoughts had refashioned in ways both conscious and subconscious. The machine had warned that intruders could also influence the characteristics of an environment rendered malleable by the pressure of those thoughts. Well, so far my presence seems to have had little effect on the surroundings, he thought. I would be quite happy to miss out on seeing my unconscious imaginings made solid. Mist drifted over the surface of the river, and low cloud blurred the heights of the cliffs. The air was still and quiet, no insect sounds, no birds, just the murmur of the river. Behind, the immense portal paled away behind veils of mist, while ahead the gorge curved to the left. The cliffs lost height and became rounder. Bushes sprouted here and there, then came reedy shallows with small trees dotted along narrow shores. Round the bend, larger trees came into view, a dark, coniferous forest, a dense, impenetrable barrier that cloaked steep inclines on either side. Robert could smell wet foliage and the unmistakable odour of pine needles and felt a tantalising familiarity. Then he heard voices, male and female, and sounds of running feet, laughter. There, among the trees, a young couple ran, one chasing to give a tap on the shoulder to the other, who then turned about to give chase, tripping, laughing, stumbling into each other's arms, kissing. The memory was suddenly whole and alive, keen with joy and the pain of a lost and innocent perfection. After long, languorous moments, the kiss ended. They broke apart and carried on upslope, off into the trees, the youthful Robert Horst and his girlfriend Giselle, later wife and mother of Rosa. He sat back in the boat, his mind a whirl of emotions. The Tanenth machine had not hinted at what to expect, but now he wondered what lay in store, and with a degree of apprehension. The change that came over the landscape then was swift, smooth, as if he were passing through some surreal hollow artwork. The steep, wooded slopes to his right flattened, and the shoreline moved off and off, finally receding into the horizon, while, to his left, the trees shrank, hills and ridges diminished, and the slopes of looming mountains lost their immensity. The boat was now moving slowly past a series of small-scale rocky fjords and coves, most with clusters of houses, villages and towns, as he went on, all in perfect miniature, their inhabitants tiny, yet going about their routines.